Never done that before.
A little aggressive there, Mr. Jones.
I reckon so. Good morning, everyone. The time is 10:04, and I will call this October 26th meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection to order. I'd like to thank so many of you in the audience for being here today and braving the nasty weather out there to be with us, and hope you safe travels on the way home in case I forget to tell you that at the end. We'll get right into our agenda and start with item number one.
It's a call to order with the invocation and Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm going to ask Commissioner Wilson to provide our invocation. Please stand.
Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for the blessing of another day of experiencing you. Lord, we pray that you would bless this body of commissioners today as we make decisions to keep our first responders safer throughout this great state. Lord, we thank you for the much-needed rain, and at the same time, we pray for safety for our Texas citizens throughout this state who may be in the path of these storms. Lord, we thank you for each one represented here today. And Lord, we pray that you would provide safe travels back home after our meeting. And we pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'll join me as we pay our respects to the flag of our country. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic
and now the flag of our state.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. Got it down. We'll move on to item number two.
Roll call and excuse commissioner absences. Commissioner Cantu.
Commissioner Cantu did let us know well in advance that he was not going to be able to make today's meeting due to work travel.
Mr. Coatney.
Here.
Mr. DeVillis.
Here.
Commissioner Friedak.
Here.
Mr. Glenn.
Here.
Mr. Hamilton.
Here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Lowell.
Commissioner Lowell is no longer. He resigned.
Mr. Morgan is here. Commissioner Sharma has ended her term. Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Mr. Steelman?
Here.
Mr. Vandegrift?
Here.
Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
Commissioners, I entertain a motion to excuse Commissioner Cantu.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Hamilton, second by Commissioner Jones. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number three.
Commission meeting minutes of August 10th, 2023.
Commissioners, hopefully you've had an opportunity to review the minutes from our last meeting. If not, take a second or two to do that, and I will entertain a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Item number four.
Recognition of Mala Sharma for her service to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection.
Chief Wisco, or?
Yep.
I'll join you. Commissioner Sharma, would you please step forward to the center of the dais?
So, Commissioner Sharma, on behalf of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, we wanted to present you a couple of little small gifts as mementos of the time you spent with us. You know, you and I were brought on board the commission at the same time. And I can honestly say you've been a breath of fresh air. You always have a great demeanor. I've never seen you in a bad mood. Even when the mood can be bad in here, you rise above that, and you kind of keep us all in the place that we need to be. So you have a positive and cheerful attitude and a way about you. I've always appreciated that, and thank you for what you've done. You did a lot of heavy lifting with our health and wellness committee. You were intimately involved with that since its inception several years ago. And because of your work with that, you've certainly made the Texas Fire Service better and kept our firefighters safer. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
And we also have a plaque for you, and I'll just read it real quick. In recognition of Mala Sharma for your years of dedicated service to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, 2018 to 2023.
I truly appreciate, you know, in this last 6 years or so, working with everyone and creating lifelong friends who become like family now, and helping out with the fire service industry. It's been a pleasure working with everyone. I've met so many people along the way, and it's truly rewarding and
Round of applause.
Chairman,
yes, sir.
Real quick before we get too deep,
absolutely.
I want to introduce our new legal counsel.
Please do.
Since he's going to be directing us through the meeting. Mr. Frank King joined us. I think everybody's had a chance to meet him this morning, but he's been here 2 weeks. We hadn't run him off yet, and it's been a fun 2 weeks, so I think we're good. Well, if he's still here tomorrow, I'll know we got him.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Happy to have you. And I need to back up a little bit and introduce our newest commissioner. This is her first meeting with us today. We're certainly glad to have her on board. Commissioner Friedrich, thank you so much for being here. We look forward to getting to know you better and working with you as we try to improve the Texas Fire Service. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 5.
The Budget and Strategic Plan Subcommittee met on October 26, 2023, before the commission meeting may provide a report relating to any recommendations developed by the subcommittee relating to modifications to the agency's operating budget and strategic plan. So we did meet this morning. I want to thank the commissioners that came early through the downpour, as well as staff, to attend that meeting. We briefly discussed the budget, some of the restructuring that's going to occur in that regard, and the strategic plan going forward. So just ask that the committee attend the workshop. We're going to talk about that time frame later, but the next Budget Strategic Plans Committee meeting will be at the workshop in February, hopefully, for everybody to participate in, because we're going to go through the strategic plan, and it's about as long as the Bible. So all help is greatly appreciated, but I think that's it for me.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions on budget and strategic plan? All right, if not, we'll move on to item number 6.
Reports from the fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from TEKS, Texas Fire Chiefs Association, Texas State Associate of Firefighters, the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas, Texas State Fire Marshals Association, Texas Association of Fire Educators, Texas A&M Forest Service, National Fire Protection Association, the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, Center for Public Safety Excellence, State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
All right. We'll start working our way through the list here. So first on the first up, we will hear from TEKS.
Good morning. Gordon Lomar, Division Director, Texas A&M Engineering Extension Service. I'm going to provide you a brief update on some of our activities. So October the 5th, we hosted our last advisory board meeting. Of course, David Brannon is the TCFP representative on that board. We also appointed two new members to the board. So Chris Addington, who's the fire chief of Roanoke, he replaced the TFCA representative, Sean Snyder, who untimely passed away. And then Rick Isaacs, fire chief from Blue VFD, is a state Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association representative to our board. He replaced Chuck Richardson. So one of the hot topics I think everyone in this room is dealing with is response to lithium-ion batteries energy storage systems. TEKS hosted an LI Energy Storage System Summit in Fort Worth, October 3rd through 4th, and we'll publish a white paper on best practices. That'll be coming in a month or so. We're doing a lot of work with the national laboratory systems at the moment, so we've collected a lot of material, bunker gear, SCBA straps, interiors from apparatus, both clean cap configurations and traditional style, and we'll be working with the ATF, the national laboratory systems, on some testing. So we can get some information into the hands of the first responder community on what they can expect to face, the polyaromatic hydrocarbons, the VOCs, and I think most importantly, the heavy metals that we're seeing as a result of some of those fires. So we're really excited about that. We also anticipate releasing some LI awareness level training in January of this coming year. So that's really good. Pro Board reaccreditation. So every 5 years, we go through Pro Board reaccreditation. We had our site visit in September. That went really well. We're reaccredited for an additional 5 years. We issued a total of 8,817 Pro Board certifications during fiscal year 23, and that's out back to about a 95% level pre-COVID. So Yeah. We're definitely getting our sea legs under us there. And we have released two new levels of certification for this year. Excuse me, hazmat officer and hazmat safety officer. This coming year, we will work on curriculum so we can provide Pro Board certification to our swift water rescue audiences and also structural collapse technicians. That's all I have this morning.
Commissioners, any questions? Any questions for Teeks? Gordon, thank you for being here.
Sir.
Next up is the Texas Fire Chiefs Association.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks for letting us be here today. Texas Fire Chiefs, like everyone, has been busy. We focus on education and continuous improvement to the fire service and our members. We've held 10 education events, or 8 so far. We'll hold 2 more to finish out 2023, including our first ever battalion chief training event that's being hosted next month. We've focused on a lot on improvement, beginning with rewriting our best practices program. We're about halfway through with that, and departments in Texas who want to be known as best practices will have a little bit more rigor and make sure that they're doing all the tasks needed to get that certification from us. We're also working with many state agencies, including y'all's the commission. We're trying to host our regional meetings in attendance with y'all's regional meetings to get a bigger group at those. We've been working with the new state fire marshal's office on how we can help and assist with line of duty death investigations and injuries and the roles of the state fire marshal's office in the ISO. As we expand into next year, we're going to try to host 13 to 15 events next year, and just really here if you have any questions.
All right. Any questions for Texas Fire Chiefs Association?
Thank you all.
Perfect. Thank you, Chief Mound. Next up is the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jim Reedy. I'm speaking on behalf of Glenda Shields and the Texas State Association of Firefighters. We don't have a report, but I represent the State Association on NFPA 1851 and 1971. And as I related at the consortium, just a FYI, it is going to probably be late being published. It'll probably be 6 months after the anticipated date. So it'll give us more time, but there's also quite a few amendments that are going to be pushed forward in the standards. So more of an FYI than anything else. It's not going to be out on the date that they set originally. So it'll be 6 months probably. Probably be pushed into 25 maybe, end of 24, 25 maybe. So just FYI.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions? All right. Thank you, Jim. All right, next up is the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Good morning, Commissioners. Chairman Steelman, AC Chief Wisco. I'm Donnie Boggs, President of the State Firefighter and Fire Marshal Association. It's been a busy, busy year. We are now finishing up our district meetings. You well know we have 16 districts in our association. Two of them are kind of combined, so we go to 15 district meetings through the year, sometimes in the spring, sometimes in the fall, or both. So we're wrapping those up. And the one thing I can really tell you, we're seeing a resurgence in our membership coming back. A lot of that's due to the creation of the data tracking system that has been built over the last 2.5 years. It's very user-friendly. People are able to get on it. They can track their training, enter their training, without having to pull hair out. That's why I have no hair, because I was pulling hair out. So we've got that done. And some things that happened at our conference that was in McAllen, which I told you last time, I didn't get to really attend. I was busy recovering from the heart attack at that time. But there was a passage to create a junior fire membership for us. And that's so our rural fire departments out there can take some of our younger kids that are under 18, let them train and learn some of the things they're going to need to do to be a firefighter. And then when they turn 18, a lot of that can come over and they start working toward their certification. We will be hosting a district officer symposium where we bring in at least 2 members of the executive board from every district, January 26th through the 28th here at our office in Manchac. And for a day and a half, we sit there and talk about issues and then try to have solutions to that. They understand what we need from them. They will understand what they will get from us and start bridging that communication gap or no communication at all. It's worked out really well the last two sessions that we've had. We do it biannually, one in January, then one in June. So it's a good deal. We're finalizing things for our June conference in San Marcos. That will be June 27th through the 30th. If you'll know, that's a shorter time period than we've had before. That was voted on by the membership. It will be at the Embassy Suite there in San Marcos. And, commissioners, we'd love for you, if you've got time, to come down and see what we're doing on the SFMA level as far as the training that we're hosting down there and what we do with our business. The SAFER grant that we were awarded that went into effect in December has been a really, really good helping hand to our volunteer fire services, a $2.1 million SAFER grant. And it goes to pay for NFPA physicals, make sure individuals coming on the department are fit to fight fire. It'll also go from that point to actually purchase bunker gear for brand new members coming on. And then it goes into leadership training and basic training, things such as that. And it can also help as far as dues, department dues and individual dues if we have a struggling department that really wants to be a part of it. So we've had some really good things starting to happen and some change starting to take place. And the one thing that we're hoping for is this June, with it being centralized in a shorter conference, that we'll see a bigger attendance that will come to that association. So with that's about all I've got this morning. Any questions for me?
Commissioners, any questions for SFFMA? Donnie, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
You continue to recover. Next up is the Texas Fire Marshals Association. Okay, we'll move on to the Texas Association of Fire Educators. And we'll keep moving on to the Texas A&M Forest Service.
Good morning, everybody. Emily Wall, Chief of Staff, Texas A&M Forest Service. So like everybody else, we were real busy this summer with response. Since January 1, we responded to 5,848 wildfires that have burned 183,340 acres across the state. Also we had, since January 1, 350 TIFMIS engines that also helped in that response. Now, along with response, we were very fortunate to receive additional funding for our Rural VFD Assistance Program and our TIFMIS Grant Assistance Program after this legislative session. So we had our first funding meeting of this fiscal year for the Rural VFD Assistance Program on Monday, where we awarded $15.7 million to 260 fire departments, and that included 70 truck grants. Also, with the additional funding from the legislature, we received funding to hire 75 additional positions for our agency. And so with that, we're working on our recruitment and retention efforts. And we have also, we used to have two response sides to our agency, the East Texas Operations and the Incident Response Department. We've now combined those for a more coordinated effort across the agency to provide a more coordinated effort with response. In addition, we've realigned our seven response branches. And effective November 1, we will now have 8 regions. Those will actually match the Texas Division of Emergency Management regions. And I believe that's all I have today, but I'll be glad to entertain any questions.
Commissioners, any questions for Texas A&M Forest Service? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Next up is the National Fire Protection Association. How about the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts?
Good morning. Good morning. Clay Avery, Executive Director of the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, or SAFED for short. We are the State Association for Emergency Services Districts. Since we have new folks in the room, I'll just reiterate, emergency services districts are political subdivisions of the state of Texas, special districts designed to fund both fire and, in some cases, emergency medical service. In the safety world, since we've last spoken, We had a couple regional trainings in Jasper and Athens. We're trying to get out to sort of parts of the state that we don't get out to as often with our conference. We have a webcast coming up on October 30th, this Monday, about legislative issues. One of the things we realized last session is that the legislature and our legislative activities can no longer be once every 2 years kind of thing. It has to be, much to my chagrin, a full-time thing, apparently. So we're actively working on that, preparing for the next legislative session that's coming up. One thing I do want to mention is our safety annual conference, which will take place in Irving February 22nd through 24th. All are welcome. We're working on putting together a really great program, education for our ESD commissioners. Some folks in this room will be speaking, whether they know it or not yet. We really hope to have a great showing up in Irving. North Texas is not a place that has a ton of ESDs compared to, say, the Houston area and Central Texas, South Central Texas. But the ESDs that are up there are strong and active, and we're excited to get up to Irving. One of the themes of that conference is going to be sophistication, specifically administrative and logistical sophistication. What we're seeing more in the ESD world is a tendency towards some of our districts now are getting to be very large, basically resembling what you would see more in your larger suburban and somewhat big city departments. With that brings its own set of challenges, such as employing HR, payroll, and employee benefits. We're struggling right now with some health insurance benefits issues, trying to make that work for our ESDs and trying to figure out those kind of things. So that's the kind of stuff we'll be talking about. Really looking forward to getting up there and hope everybody can join us. Otherwise, I'll take any questions.
Commissioners, any questions for ESDs? Clay, thank you for being here. All right, next up is the Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Chan, current chair of the Center for Public Safety Excellence Consortium, or the Texas CPSC Consortium. The consortium strives to develop a collaborative relationship among fire departments across the state to achieve excellence through continuous improvement, peer mentoring, and professional development, especially through CPSE's agency accreditation and professional credentialing programs. CPSE held its summer symposium and hearings in Chicago in August. Frisco Fire Department once again was accredited with a unanimous vote and received high praise during its hearings. The basic accreditation class, which is required to be a peer assessor, concluded in spring last week, and registration for the annual conference from February 27th to March 1st in Orlando is now open, with the early registration open until January 5th. I'm open to take any questions.
Commissioners, any questions for CPSC?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Knight, and I'm the State Fire Marshal. And I officially took the position as of August 14th, so relatively new. But I thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce myself and to kind of tell you what's happened in this past fiscal year with the State Fire Marshal's Office and kind of what my plan is for the next coming up next year. So just a little bit back, my background is I'm retired military with 30 years of active duty and reserve. About 30 years, 29-ish. During that time, as an enlisted person, I was a paramedic and a flight medic. Then as an officer, after attending college at ROTC, had various positions, including four deployments after 9/11 in various types of positions, including my battalion command, which was as a logistics officer in Iraq. And also I did a stint in Ethiopia. Supposed to go to Afghanistan again, but instead went to Ethiopia to teach a strategic studies and leadership course to Ethiopian general officers. I'm also an attorney, I have a civil litigation background, as well as an insurance and compliance background. And then my last, I was for 10 years with the Texas Department of Insurance and various positions there, but the last position was as the deputy commissioner for the overseeing the fraud investigations and prosecutions unit in that NDWC. So that's a little bit about myself. Let's see. The as far as the State Fire Marshal's Office, as of October 1st, so really new, I promoted internally Chuck Allen from a captain to the Assistant State Fire Marshal. He has been with he has a number of years with the State Fire Marshal's Office. He also has a master's degree in preparedness, leadership and disaster preparedness. He's a master fire inspector and an arson investigator, master peace officer, certified fraud examiner, and former county fire marshal. We also recently identified a liaison, an SFMO liaison for LODD investigations. Just to set a foundational level, the State Fire Marshal's Office is statutorily required to investigate line of duty deaths. And part of that is that we coordinate with the Fire Chiefs Association. I know Les kind of mentioned it, and to help with those investigations. We continued our an ongoing practice of LAHs are required to notify the Fire Marshal's Office. AHJs are required to notify the Fire Marshal's Office if there is a line of duty death or if there's a fire death. And the way you can do that, obviously, however, we have website, phone numbers, but we have identified our liaison officer, who is Lieutenant Todd Josie. But also, if you contact the Les Stevens as a representative of the Fire Chief Association, or Wendy Norris as the Texas LODD Task Force, they will include each other into that, and so they'll get that process started. So that's a ongoing practice, and we're going to continue that, and we coordinate that with those two entities. Also wanted to let you know that the 2023 Firefighter Fatality Investigations Annual Report was just published onto the website. Just briefly, that their SFMO investigated 10 firefighter fatality incidents, resulting in 11 fatalities last year. Five of those were on-duty medical events, five were on-duty vehicle accidents, and one was an on-duty suicide. Also included in that report is a summary overview of the prosecution of the gym owner for arson and murder of a San Antonio firefighter, Dean fatality in 2017. He was sentenced to 30 years this past fiscal year. So we've been really busy. The Fire Marshal's Office for this last past year had 489 fire investigations that they were initiated. 57 of those were determined to be incendiary in nature. We referred 32 arson cases for prosecution, 29 for arson, and 3 for homicide, resulting in 28 indictments and 28 arrests and 13 convictions so far. We inspected 7,171 buildings consisting of 95 million square feet, issued 16,484 licenses, registrations, and permits, and 519 investigations of licensed companies and individuals were initiated. All of that with 14 inspectors, 15 fire investigators, 6 licensing investigators, and 5 licensing administrative staff. So, main goal for this next year is to rebuild and establish relationships and improve communications with our office. Part of the way I'm doing that is I'm meeting people. I'm getting out. I'm willing to meet with anybody. If anyone would like to meet with me, get my office, and we'll get that scheduled. But also, if I get an invitation, I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to get out and talk with folks. And if I can't make it, one of my people are. In addition, we're also starting up the Fire Marshal Discussion Series again. It allows AHJs to meet with the State Fire Marshal's office. We're just starting that process, so more to come on that. And the Science Advisory Work Group has been returned. We're working on the contract. Once we have the contract in place, we'll go ahead and schedule those meetings and get those agendas out. So, and just real briefly, one of the things that I wanted to kind of emphasize, a couple things I wanted to emphasize. We know as a state agency, if there's a state agency building in a jurisdiction, if we highly we encourage them strongly to coordinate with AHJ, they're located. Obviously, we don't have we can't respond, so they need to have those relationships with those AHJs. If anyone is having problems or having difficulty making those connections with that state building and that university, whoever's there, getting the right people in the room, contact us. We are really happy to facilitate those conversations and get the right people. Also, just another point of interest is we do respond to complaints, and complaints that are outside of a jurisdiction. We will investigate those complaints, the standard that we use is the code that we've adopted. But just because they're outside of a jurisdiction doesn't mean they don't have to comply with a code. And obviously, one of our big pushes, and one of the things we do is we have people, investigators, fire investigators, all over the state. They're positioned. They do a lot of driving, but they will assist with those fire investigations. If an AHJ wants assistance, we can assist by either. I mean, we have drones, we have canines, but also we have some really experienced fire investigators. The points of contact and the jurisdiction, the areas of coverage are on our web page. So, in conclusion, I just want to say, I'm excited to meet with everybody, excited for the new position, and committed to the State Fire Marshal's Office is committed to the relationship with all the AHJs and the fire service community. Any questions?
Commissioners, any questions for the State Fire Marshal's Office? Deborah, congratulations on your new position. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And next up would be the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. Okay, I believe that closes out item number 6. We'll move to item 7.
Report from Commissioner Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
So the Homeland Security Council met September the 28th. Man, if you want to ever be just kind of awakened to what's happening in the world, go to one of those meetings. They've received, Deputy Director Martin talked about how they've received more active threats than ever in history about anything from bomb threats to active shooters, stuff like that. It's pretty eye-opening. There was also a presentation from the Texas Epidemic Public Health Institute on the public health threats. Presentation from Texas Animal Health Commission about animal diseases of concern that are coming over immigration and livestock and smuggling, which is another thing that you just really don't hear about, but it's crazy how bad that is. Mitch Lamont talked about the Forest Service, and then we had Sharon Jones talk about the Texas Behavioral Threat Assessment Intervention and Protection Program and how busy they are with trying to intervene on these threats. And so if you have something, you get that. It's really important that that you report those things through the channels so they can be looked into.
Commissioners, any questions or comments? Commissioner Vandegrift, thank you, as always, for representing us on that board. We'll move on to item number 8.
Report from the Health and Wellness Ad Hoc Committee.
Good morning. I'm Doug Boker with Sugarland. I was disappointed to see Commissioner Mala Sharma exit before the report. There's no new work of the committee at this time, but I did want to recognize the power of the fire service to grab somebody's elbow. She was walking by when Robert Moore grabbed her elbow and said, "Hey, how would you like to head up this new committee?" And a lesser commissioner would have not persevered the way she did. And I just wanted to kind of go over some of the highlights of what she pulled off in her tenure as commissioner and as the director of the manager of that committee. So we did two different cancer initiatives. which turned into a video segment that highlighted the largest fire department and one of the smallest fire departments and a few departments in between, so that every fire department in the Texas Fire Service could see a department that looked like them and find a program that, that might work for them. We took on a mental health initiative that went outside of the state and went as far as Missouri and then into the National Fire Academy, and that product is still being developed as we speak. The cardiovascular program that was put together, much by McKinney Fire and Best EMS, their medical direction firm, but put together a firefighter cardiovascular health video that was made available to the entirety of the Texas Fire Service, and then a couple of years of looking at Grace's work and putting together the top injury reports that were further developed into a requirement for CE, and all that was kind of her idea, and then she would keep a bunch of firefighters that like to see shiny things and go off in different directions, and she would keep us all kind of in line. So welcome to the new commissioner, big shoes to fill. Hopefully that the health and wellness committee will be as well led as it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Oker.
All right, we'll move on to aisle number 9.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, anybody have anything specific you would like to see added for our next meeting in February?
Just what Commissioner Morgan said about the workshop. If we put a workshop together, okay, that'd be very, very important.
Sure. Anything else? Okay.
We will move on to item 10.
Future meeting dates.
So, commissioners, you remember that we set our future meeting dates. We're doing the schedule adjustment away from what the tradition has been. And just so that I'm correct and so we're all on the same page, our next meeting will be February the 29th. I believe we will have a workshop on the 28th.
Well, you had scheduled a workshop for May the 15th.
But do we need to do it on the...
That's up to you. Either way, I think the strategic budget and strategic plan committee need to have some kind of workshop.
Commissioners, there be any opposition to doing a workshop in February, just shifting the workshop schedule to the February meeting and the August meeting? Anybody have any hang up with that? Just going to put you here a day and a half instead of a day. Okay, so we'll shoot for that. We'll do a workshop on the 28th with a regular commission meeting on the 29th, and then the next meeting would be May the 16th. And then beyond that, we would have a workshop on August 14th and the commission meeting on the 15th. And then our final meeting for 2024 would be on November 21st. Any hang-ups or questions?
Mr. Chairman, what time do you want to start the workshop on the 28th?
So let's do the – kind of thinking the 2 o'clock in the afternoon time frame works well. It allows for travel that morning to get here for those of us that live far away. And then we're usually able to get those done in 2 or 3 hours and be out of here before 5. And then we'll keep with a regular time frame where if it's a workshop day before, we'll start the commission meeting at 9 the following morning. If it's a standalone commission meeting, we'll start those at 10.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Glenn.
The August 2024 meeting is Thursday the 29th, correct?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
The August 2024 meeting, did you say it's August 29th?
I have the 14th and I have the 14th and 15th.
That's great.
At the last meeting, we weren't able to confirm August or November yet, but because we didn't have
the schedule.
Yeah, we couldn't schedule with the room.
Okay.
But if the 14th and 15th works for you guys, we more than likely should be able to accommodate that.
This will come in my later report, but there's a high likelihood we're going to be moving by January, and so scheduling a meeting room won't be a challenge after that. But I won't know that till probably tomorrow. But.
Okay.
Commissioner Jones and I would be unavailable the 28th and 29th anyway.
So okay, so the 14th and the 15th would actually work better for you guys. Okay, we'll stick with that for now. If we need to adjust that later on, we've got plenty of time to adjust on the fly. But those will be our tentative dates. Any other questions? I'm sorry.
Did you want to set November?
Sure. Yeah, let's shoot for the 21st. It's kind of keeping in that third week kind of a frame, I guess. Or getting close to Thanksgiving, but I think we can get in and out of here. Okay, any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to, next on the agenda is item 11. Commissioners, I'd ask that we be allowed to move item 13 as next item in discussion. I'd like to put it before item 11, so we will skip to item 13. So, Commissioner Morgan.
Discussion and possible action on 37 Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 463, Advisory Committees.
Commissioners, this is the second reading. You'll remember 463 went out for proposal at the August meeting. So we've had this run through the governor's office approval process, and the last meeting there were some minor changes made to 463.7, which you would find on page 62. But that's just catching up on where we are.
Commissioners, the floor is open for discussion or questions.
On page what?
44.
Oh, I thought you said 62.
That's what it is in my book.
Okay.
Don't listen to my page numbers. Apparently, I got a different version.
No problem.
I was too quick to print it.
Mr. Jones.
I'll just reiterate what we said last meeting, that just for the record, that as Commissioner Glenn said last meeting, the understanding of the intent of when it was passed, that when those committees are made, they have six-year terms. And so anything stepping outside of that, because we couldn't get a good, clear direction from the attorney at the time, would be that we're stepping outside the intent of the statute. So, with that, I of course 63.7, with some of them going out less than 6 year terms. Again, I think we're out of it, and we were told last meeting some were stepping out willingly, but I think us dictating that, we're stepping outside the statute. So, just wanted to get that into the record from my standpoint.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Commissioner Hamilton, a second by Commissioner Coatney. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
No.
No.
That motion passes. All right, we will move on to item 11.
Discussion of possible action on 37 TAC Chapter 421 Standards for Certification.
All right, Commissioner, so you got my email Tuesday with the revised notebook. We had a little confusion, and so I want to explain that to you now. And so if you'll look at let me back up. This is the second reading of this, so it was out for proposal since the August meeting. So you're going to be able to take action today if you want to adopt this. After the August meeting and the proposal went out, Curriculum and Testing took another look at some of their suggested changes in 421.3. And what they determined was that while they had initially asked to strike some existing language and modify it to a briefer statement, they realized that was not a good move. And so that committee had a long discussion, and they decided to ask the commissioners not to make the changes that are proposed in 421.3. So in other words, everything that is struck through is current language, and they're asking to maintain that language. What it talks about basically is the qualifications for inspector, and the concern was that by striking all of that out and not outlining that, we could open the door for some debate and some problems moving forward. So the C&T essentially is asking to pull back their recommendation to make those changes in 421.3. Everything else in this document is good to go. We did not receive any public comment to my office on this. And so that's just catching you up on where we're at in this.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or comments for staff?
I have one comment.
Commissioner Wilson.
So, Mike, there is the statement in 421.1. This is nothing contextual, by the way. It's just a minor thing. But there's that second sentence in that paragraph says, rules related to these committees are outlined in 463 committees, and then it just stops.
We need to clean that up. It's outlined in the 463 that actually was just passed.
Well, and I think if we add it, I'm going to make a suggestion. If
okay.
you go to 463.3b, that says at the end of that sentence, all committees shall be subject to and governed by these bylaws. So maybe if we just add at the end of that sentence, going back to 421.1, rules related to these committees are outlined in 463 committee bylaws.
Okay.
I think that would clear, that would finish that sentence out a lot better to make it clearer and more complete.
Okay.
Is that good?
Works good for me. As long as it works good for all of you.
Agree.
Commissioners, any other comments or questions? If not, I will entertain a motion.
I want to point out, just so everybody is very clear on this, in 421.17, this is where you see the language change about House Bill 4073. Remember, 4073, we asked the legislatures to allow you all to determine how long somebody's certification could be expired before they had to retest. That legislation passed, and so what you see in 421.17 is new language that just spells out that they'll have up to 5 years to recertify without having to take the test. And there wasn't any discussion last time, and I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that's the purpose of that change and that we're catching up with what the legislative change was.
Okay. Any questions, Commissioners?
So just confirming, Mike, as it reads right now, reads as the curriculum testing committee suggested.
No, what we're gonna have to do is unstrike everything in 421.3, number 4, A and B, qualifications. It currently struck through, and they have asked to leave that intact, not to strike it. So you all would need, if you make a motion to do this, you would need to make it with the changes to 421.3, and then we will clean that up before we send it to the register.
And also the modification to 421.1,
yes,
proposed by Commissioner Wilson.
Correct.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we make the changes for Commissioner Wilson for 421.1, as well as we remove the stricken language from 421.3, 4A and B, as suggested by the curriculum testing.
We keep the stricken language.
Just
want to make sure we're all clear.
Yep, yes.
Okay.
A second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Jones and a second by Commissioner Coatney. Is there any other discussion?
Question.
Jim
Reedy. We're keeping that stricken language in. Does that conflict with any of the new language that's underlined?
No, the new language will be coming out because we're keeping the struck through language. So,
okay.
In other words, C&T is pulling back their recommendation.
Right.
Their recommendation was to strike the old language, put in the new. They've since asked that we just leave it as is and take out the new changes.
I mean, we support that. I support that, but that's why I say I didn't hear anybody say that we're taking that underlying new language out.
We're just putting everything back like it is right now today.
I didn't know if that had to be part of the motion or not.
No, thanks for making that clear. But, what you see is new language following the 4A and B is coming out.
All right. Good.
Just to clarify my motion.
Go ahead.
That we will remove the new language, leave the old language, as well as Commissioner Wilson's suggestion for 421.1.
We're having a hard time here.
Correct.
I'm sorry?
We're having a hard time hearing you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just making sure that I'm clear on my motion that we're going to add recommendations for 421.1 from Commissioner Wilson, as well as the curriculum testing committee's recommendation to remove the new language and leave the old language. Is that cleaning up better?
I think so.
Yep. Clear.
Staff cleared?
Yes.
Okay.
Clear on the second.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? All those in. Oh, I'm sorry. Amanda.
I just wanted to make sure that we're clear. So the old, when we're at keeping the old language, we're only talking about 421.3?
Yes.
Okay.
4 A and B.
Yes. 421.3, 4 A and B.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, all those commissioners in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Item 12.
Discussion and possible action on 37 TAC Chapter 403, criminal convictions and eligibility for certification.
Commissioners, this is a second reading. This was a sunset recommendation to review this. I believe at the August meeting, committee that looked at that said there were no recommended changes, and what you see in front of you is that document without any changes.
Okay, a few minor changes. Commissioners, any questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve as is.
So moved.
Second.
Sorry, who did the motion? I have a motion by Commissioner Vandegrift, second by Commissioner Morgan. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Okay, item 14.
Discussion and possible action on 37 TAC Chapter 439, Examinations for Certification, Matrix 439.19.
Commissioners, this is another second reading. The matrix was changed, and you see the change there. And it talks about the number of exam questions down close to the bottom of that chart in the matrix. We received no public comment prior to today.
Okay. Commissioners, any comments, discussion, questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Did I skip something?
Yep.
Yeah.
Second
motion.
I'll make a motion.
All right. I'm sorry. I'll entertain a motion to approve. I have a motion by Commissioner Glenn.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for checking me on that. And a second by Commissioner Wilson.
I'm the only one here that trusts you, Jason.
I know it.
I ran right off the cliff with you.
All right. Like now that we got that straight.
Send flowers to my wife.
All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. All right. Item 15.
Discussion and possible action on matters as referred from the Firefighter Advisory Committee. A, discussion and possible action on new 37 TAC Chapter 469 Technical Rescue. And B, discussion and possible action on rule review 37 TAC Chapter 495 Regulation of Non-Governmental Departments.
Commissioners, this is the second time around for this. We did receive from a letter that you'll see in your notebook from the Collin County Fire Chiefs. And also you'll see some word changes, minor changes throughout the document that followed that letter. But if you'll remember the discussion and the point of the Collin County letter is about the implementation date of this, and there was a lot of discussion about slowing this down a little bit so folks have an opportunity to budget for it. And what had been agreed on was to change it from the suggested February start to an October 2024 start.
Chairman, to you.
We're forwarding that on to you. We discussed this at our September 21st meeting, and those changes had already been added in before our meeting. The Curriculum and Testing Committee had seen it as well. So what you have in front of you is what we approved. We discussed it at length. We made a couple of revisions to 469.1 and 469.2. There's a little wordsmith effort made there, and you have that there in front of you in your packet.
Okay. Commissioners, any discussion or questions? I can tell you I've had a few phone calls over this, and there's an excitement across the fire service that I'm kind of gathering about this certification. So I think a lot of departments are looking forward to us getting this completed, and I'm excited about that. Gives us a new avenue. So I think it's a good thing.
So just because I sent it to the firefighter advisory and curriculum testing, just making sure that this meets the intent that follows how we do the other certifications. Everybody's vetted it, likes it, and that it falls in line with the ask of the commission staff that it doesn't bombard them at a very busy time.
Yes.
That was discussed at our meeting, so we felt like we came to a resolution and moved it forward back to you.
Okay.
Was there a question on it specifically?
No, just make sure that all those were looked at and done, because I know when we sent there, there was some discrepancy, and that we were trying to do things different in this one than the other, and then the time frame with trying to get with I understand and sympathetic with the chief asked last time about, you know, budgets and that, but to also make sure we don't bombard staff with everybody trying to get this. I think it is going to be a very popular certification, that we're not bombarding them during their busy time, so I just want to make sure we're.
And if I can speak to the staff side, yeah, I think by keeping it away from starting it or ending it at the end or beginning or the end of a year, that was our concern, as well as we have the new process in place that we're using with the fire marshal cert right now, where everything is pretty much online and that's going very well. So we don't anticipate any issues when this does kick off.
Okay. Commissioners, any other discussion or questions? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Wilson.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Glenn. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Okay. 15B.
I'll just start off by saying this was the one last rule review that needed to occur, and it got delayed a little bit, but you all sent it to the firefighter advisor, so I'll turn it over to Chief DeYear.
Chairman DeYear.
Correct. We had this as one of our rule reviews over a year ago when we were looking at all the rules, and we tabled it at the time, but it came back to us. No wording was changed at all. We did discuss it in length. But basically, no changes were made, and we're approving this rule. Are you sending it back to y'all for ultimate vote?
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve as is.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Glenn.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Wilson. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 16.
Discussion and possible action on 37 CAC Chapter 467, Fire Marshal, as referred from the Curriculum and Testing Committee.
It appears that CNT went through here and made some grammatical changes and a couple of reference changes in here. Nothing substantial, though. The ever so important and never going away issue of capital C versus little c for commission. And I know our legal counsel has made it very clear his opinion needs to be a capital C, so we're comfortable with what's in here right now. What's in here now.
Okay. Commissioners, any discussion, questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Still moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Vandegrift, is it you?
All right.
And second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Item 17.
Discussion and possible action on filling the current vacancies on committees.
So I have a handout. If you'll remember from the last meeting, we had a discussion about how we're going to fill the vacancies. Commissioner Wilson had offered a draft SOP. I took that. I put it in the format of all our interagency policies, and I want to hand that out to everybody. But I'm also going to hand out the original draft that Chief Wilson I'm sorry, Commissioner Wilson had given them. So bear with me a second. I'll get all these handed out to you. And what you'll see in the agency policy that I crafted, on page 2, you'll see a list of each committee and the current committee members. And based on the language in 463 that was just approved, you'll see it lines up with the language that was in 463 about the terms. And all of this is just for discussion with you guys
on how you want to move forward on
filling these vacancies on these standing committees.
All right, Commissioners, once those make their way around, we'll take a few seconds or minutes to review this. That way everybody's kind of on the same page.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if that could put – is there any way to put that up on the screen for us to see what's going on?
No, but we can make some copies real quick for everybody if you want. Okay.
Sure. We'll try to get something out there.
Probably 50. It's 3 pages. Might take a couple minutes.
Sure. That'll give us time to review. Okay, thank you. Sure. While everybody's reviewing that, why don't we take about a 5-minute break? So, huh?
I like that.
Good idea. Commissioners, please turn off your microphones. We will reconvene at 11:15. We'll reconvene in 1 minute. Waiting on what? It's 11:23. We extended our 5-minute break to about triple that, so the Texas Commission on Fire Protection is back in order. So, commissioners, please find your seats, and we'll continue our conversation. Off, we were on item number 17, reviewing some information that was passed out to the commissioners and to the audience. So we'll pick up from there and move forward. So, commissioners, the floor is open for discussion, questions, comments about the information we've been reviewing.
So this is designed to fit that 463.7, where we're looking at first one would be 1 and 9, and then 2, 10, and 11, 3, 4, and 5, and 6, 7, and 8.
Correct. Okay.
So I have a question on the curriculum and on all the committees.
Mr. Jones.
So I'm reading this. So we're saying the people that hold these spots, their terms are now 2020. So let's take Pat. He's now up in 2031. That's how I'm reading that, or
that's how I read it.
And again, I just took the chart that was in 463, and it had the positions and all. So I just laid it out and. Layman's terms here, so we'd had names and positions and all that, just so you all could have a robust discussion about it. We're not married to any of this. This is just for the conversation, just to make it all clear as mud. Because if you look at what's in 463, it's just a box and it says position number and all that, and it doesn't say anything else. So we just I laid this out this way, but none of this is. This is all a draft, and it's open for you all to just, sure. You're going to tell us how you want to do
I'm
it.
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that corrects what goes back to what I said in 20. I mean, it gives them the 6-year terms. I'm just trying. So, like, let's take the year in position two, starting 25 to 31. What does that – so does that make that position vacant now? Or how does that lay out? So I'm just trying to figure out what we do with people that are there now.
and we adopted it as it sits here. So position two wouldn't start till 25, but am I making sense when I'm...
Sure, no, I think that's what we need to drill down on. And make sure, I mean, that's the work that we need to be doing right now. I mean, I know that we need to solidify this so that we can move forward with whatever the process is going to be, because we've got several vacancies on most all of the subcommittees that we desperately need to fill. So we can't really do that until we get over the fence on this.
Chief Wisco?
Yes.
So I can just understand on the, so let's just take Pat in position two. By the way it's written here, what would be the thought of that position? It wouldn't be filled until 25, or?
As the chief of the agency sitting here waiting on direction, the way I see it right now is you have three standing committees that currently have members that are holdovers from before we were compliant with the law. The state law was passed, 419.008F was passed in last year, and that in 21, after sunset review, they gave us direction to come up with a rule and make sure our committees were compliant with the state law. We've been kicking this can for 2 years, and we're at the point today where the rule passed, 463 passed, so in 20 days it'll take effect. Now you all have to determine what you want to do with these three committees. You have people currently sitting on them. What do you want to do with them? So based on that chart and based on the proposed SOP that Commissioner Wilson gave me, I took all that information and compiled it into a single document so there could be a discussion. And this document, I fully anticipate this document to look nothing like this when we're done. So I can only tell you what I know, and I know two things. The law passed in 21. We've been trying to get to this day for 2 years. Here we are. So we now have a rule that's going to take effect in 20 days. You guys need to decide how you want to fill the vacant seats on the committee, knowing that you have current members of these committees filling that role right now. And that's the best I can tell. I don't have an opinion sitting in my chair right here.
Right. Since you made the document, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to get in your beautiful mind.
No, I just took all the information you guys gave me and put it together in a document. Yeah. And then y'all can... You can do what you want with this.
Yes, sir.
I've got matches.
Thanks for your work.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Cotton.
To address Commissioner Jones' question, you know, we have the ability to remove or to reappoint any of these members, and I don't think any of us want any of these committees to lag or get behind. And so I think as part of that, as we look at this, we want to decide how we want to make sure we have a sustainability on all of these committees, which are important to the commission, so we can go through this and we can decide to reappoint, you know, position one, position two, whatever, for a first or a second term, I guess, depending on how you interpret it, because right now they're currently serving. So we could argue that they're currently serving their term, and that is the time they're up for reappointment when it mentions that. So we could keep it in place, which would then mean in 2024 the only people that we would have to address are the first people on the list. Obviously, with the Health and Wellness Committee, there's a vacancy there for the first year, so that's not the issue. So we would have position one for the Advisory Committee to consider reappointment for 24, and we would have position one, I believe, on the testing, curriculum and testing in 2024. So those would be the two that we would discuss as far as reappointing those positions or having them remove off and then fill the vacancy, and then we'd cycle from there. And I think that was a discussion that we had last time at length to make sure that we had continuity of all of these different panels, reports.
Mr. Glenn.
With our new attorney here, can we ask him, put him on the hot seat on meeting one to ask the – his opinion, are all of the members that are listed on pages 2 and 3, knowing that some wouldn't get reappointed for a year or 2 or 3 from now, are they all considered to be appointed to the committees as of now?
That's why we gave you the mic.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a classic lawyer response. Oh, it depends. I'm new to this position. I would feel more comfortable if I had some time to do some legal research. I mean, I've got the statute in front of me, and it says it's effective September 1, 2021, but we're talking about a rule. So if you could bear with me and allow me to do some research into it. Like I said, I'm not up to speed on this particular statute or the rules procedure right now, but if the commissioners would allow me to take some time to do a little bit of legal research, I can come back with an answer to that question. I've got an idea, but I don't know. I'm not certain enough about it to give you a legal opinion at this point.
Can I go ahead and tip my hand and ask you and let you know the follow-up question?
Certainly.
The follow-up question is, if in your legal opinion that they are appointed, then, well, if they're not appointed, then how can they serve on the committee? But if they are considered to be appointed, but they're not appointed to a six-year term, how are we compliant with the statute?
So. Okay. Once again, I'm going to defer until I get a chance to do a little bit of legal research. I mean, I kind of have an idea on it, but I'd feel better if I had a chance to do some deeper dive into legal research.
Sure.
And also talk to some folks, you know, that know better on this than I do. So if you could email me your two questions.
Sure.
I would appreciate that. That would help immensely.
Yes, sir. And based on that, I'm going to move to table this.
Okay.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to table item number 17. Is there any other discussion?
There's some people who want to talk to us.
So we're at discussion. So the podium is open.
Leonard Chan. Leonard Chan, Houston Fire Department. I just have also another question for legal. Would the proposed rules in terms of the composition of the committees be required to comply with the general law of government code 2110.002 regarding the composition of advisory committees, saying that there has to be a balance between industry and occupation and the consumers of services, however that's defined? And again, the reference is government code 2110.002.
And what was your question again?
Does the do the rules have to be aligned with the general law and government code 2110.002?
Yes.
Good morning, Commissioners. Daniel D. here again. My comments are a lot less legal than Mr. Chan's. I'm looking at the document that was posted. I guess I'm looking under 463.7 terms. Mm-hmm. So I know that Chairman McAuliffe had worked diligently with the Curriculum and Testing Committee, and then the Firefighter Advisory Committee spent a lot of time making suggestions and proposals over the last 2 years on how to possibly massage this into the law. But under 463.7, you guys originally had 4-year terms, and that's now stricken, and it's now 6-year terms. But in the chart beneath there, you still show all of the positions to be recycled over a 4-year period of time and not a 6-year period of time. And my concern is if you look at the initial appointment dates in that box for positions 1 through 11, you would be replacing people in 24, 25, 26, 27, but then there would be nobody at all in 28, 29, and then we'd start back again at 30. So I know the intent was with these 6-year terms that we stagger them. So every single year, at least one or two members of any of these committees would be replaced. And I know those numbers that I'm referring to you there, the 11 positions would parallel the Health and Wellness Committee, the Advisory Committee, as well as the Curriculum and Testing Committee. So we'd all have even numbers, but there needs to be a continual succession plan in place without a gap. So my suggestion would be spreading that out. Another one of the things that's derailed us, I think, and set us back over the last 2 years is some of the discussions about how does this actually take place? How does what generates either a person to be reappointed or to be replaced? And what we're afraid of is that you can see on all three of these committees, there's vacancies, and then there's also new positions. And as we speak right now, there is no process in place at all to replace any of these members. Likewise, everybody else that serves on these committees does so voluntarily, and any one of them can leave at any given time. So there's always been a discussion on the advisory committee, more so than the other two, about term limits. And the reality over the years, going back historically, the data is there. There has been a continual evolving of individuals in that community just through attrition by folks that eventually will just time out on their own schedule. Some of them have been appointed to the commission. Mr. Chairman, you were an example. You were on the advisory committee as well. Commissioner Jones, you're not the only two individuals that came through the advisory committee. So that there's always been a continual succession planning, if you would, just through attrition. But we can't put attrition to metrics without massaging it in some form or fashion. And what my concern is there should be some sort of caveat whenever we're done finalizing who comes off this list. And the way I'm looking at it right now, what you're looking at is seniority. So our committee had suggested that if nobody is willing or nobody is looking to step off the committee, then the senior person would be the person that would be up for either re-election or replacement. And I think that's a good idea. But if tomorrow our two newest members of our committee resign from the committee, I think you still need to stay with the metrics of replacing two people each year, and then 1 year, one individual will be replaced. What you don't want to do is finally create a situation where all of a sudden now you're replacing four or five people on the same date, because I think eventually that will put us right back where we are again, that you would have folks that could possibly be replaced and 60-70% of the committee could be removed at one meeting. And now you're losing all of your knowledge, all of your requisite base of commitment to the fire service. So we want to have a continual process where the senior folks will eventually clearly leave and the newest members will come in, but there has to be a succession plan of some sort. So I think when we're done finalizing where all those positions would be, what years they would either be appointed or reappointed, if you would, or replaced, that stays that way in stone. So if you look at position 4 or position 9, you could look 100 years into the future and you would know what years that position would be replaced. We will not be there until you're done doing all of this to answer the next question of, so in 2027, you appoint a brand new member to the committee, and 12 months later, they resign for whatever reason. Now you need to fill that position. That position should be refilled to complete the term of the individual you already had elected to that position. Correct. That way you would still stay on the same schedule as we move forward. I'm not sure I'm making sense to everyone in the room right now, but I know we had numbers, we had an algorithm on a spreadsheet, and I can easily resend that to you with some of the amendments we've seen over the last year that have been suggested to this. Because ideally, you don't want to have to come back and do this again. We know that you all are getting ready to have a ton of work ahead of you to fill all these vacancies. That process hasn't even started, and many of you here were here when the last process was done, where the newest member of the advisory committee was Antonio Ramos. That was a long, drawn-out process. You had more than 70 applicants. That had to be whittled down by committee. We ended up doing interviews. It took an entire day on y'all's part, and that's fine. We want to do that, and there's not a problem with it, but I don't think we want to be doing that unnecessarily. The other question I had to ask you, I just want to verify on the handout that was just copied and passed out to everybody. On those positions there, apparently everybody that's on that list is eligible to be reappointed. I want to verify that would be their second term, not their first term. Is that correct? It would be their first term? That would surprise me.
That may be our legal, some of our legal coming back.
Yeah, I agree.
I know the proposal that we had sent from the advisory committee was that, and we listed out these names, I believe it's in the exact order in which is on this page here, that we considered ourselves all to be in the middle of our first six-year term. And that's why we went with the seniority, so that the person with the most seniority to the least seniority, it balanced out. We wouldn't want to replace somebody that's only been on the committee for 2 years to have them cycle off when there's other individuals in the committee that have been there beyond 10 years. Right. So I'm fine with either, but I'll say this right now. 12 years from now, I predict, I don't believe two of these names from the advisory committee would still be on the committee 12 years from now. I think attrition will take care of that. But that's not what Sunset required. We have to have a plan, and I'm all for it. I'm all for having those definitive names with those terms, but we have to make a caveat. If somebody stepped off the committee who wasn't up for eligibility to be reappointed or to be replaced for 4 years, that they would move up on that list for the first time. The first time we go through this, there has to be two things. There has to be an initial process where we massage all of this, and then it's cast in stone. Does that make sense, or can I answer any questions that would clarify that?
Commissioners, any questions?
Or if I just confused it.
Commissioner Coten.
I don't have any questions for you, Chief. I agree with you. My interpretation of this was it was a second six-year term when we installed it. I know we used the formula that you all had put together as part of the bench work for this. Our concern, I think, or my concern personally, is as we rotated people off, how are we going to remain consistent? I wasn't too worried about people who joined it and quit because exactly what you said, our intent, I think, through discussion, was to have them complete that term so we'd be able to effectively rotate the people based on the place positions they were on. So what you're saying to me describes conversations we've been having over the course of the past year, you know, which have been too long. But I think, Glenn, are you waiting to speak?
Yes.
I'd really like to hear from the other.
Sure.
It's not my choice, but, you know.
No, absolutely. Whenever the podium's open, the next person can come up.
All right, Glenn DeShields with lobbyist for Texas State Association of Firefighters. I was involved in this, so I have some familiarity with this section. We didn't want to do anything to this originally. This was pushed by certain groups that there needed to be something where people would rotate off these committees. Our issue was we were having trouble finding people to do these things anyway, so why are we pushing off people that are willing to do it? Because the commission could vote to remove someone off the committee. The major issue I have that I'm kind of confused about now is that these committees are appointed under this chapter. And this chapter is what exists on paper now. What the Sunset Commission says, what anybody else says, doesn't matter. It's what's on this paper now. I'm confused as to how someone that's currently serving on the committee of serving has been appointed under this chapter, because anybody that's appointed under this chapter has to be appointed to a six-year term, according to the statute. It's not a huge deal to me that you're coming up with a thing, but it says specifically in here, I can read it, it says, members appointed under this chapter shall serve six-year staggered terms, but may not be appointed to more than two consecutive terms. When that was written, the idea was that attrition was basically going to stagger those terms probably pretty quickly. They probably already would have been staggered. I think this is, what are we, about 2 years after now? I mean, something has to happen eventually. We got to get something going. And I'm just kind of sitting back watching it now and seeing how this works out, but I'm still confused as to how the people that roll off in 26, how are they appointed under this chapter if they're not serving a six-year term? Are they an actual member of the committee then? Because in my mind, I didn't think state law needed to really address this. I think we have a commission. If y'all have ad hoc committees, y'all should be in charge of those committees. But, you know, we were pushed that direction, so we had to come up with something because they weren't going to put nothing there. I don't know if I'm probably confusing everybody more now, but that's kind of been my position is do these people that are currently on these commissions serving, doing this job now, are they appointed to six-year terms? According to this whatever curriculum and testing committee, we have people coming in 2025. Is position two currently filled? So if position two is currently filled, I don't know who that is or what's going on with it, but I'm just using that one as an example. Is that person appointed to a six-year term? Because the statute says they have to be. It says shall. So that's kind of my two cents now. I don't know. I mean, this is just the SOP. So, I mean, I assume this isn't a rule. This is just kind of how you're going to operate going forward. Hopefully that it kind of everything stays together and doesn't fall apart. But that's my only concern now. And Daniel brought a lot of stuff that, you know, I've thought about it, but I haven't got that far. My issue is, are the people that are currently on these committees members? Because in my mind, they're not appointed to six-year terms yet, or maybe they are, but then why would they have to come off somewhere in that six-year term? And we've just started a whole new process. I mean, the staggering thing caused a lot of confusion with everybody, including me. I'm kind of thinking, in my mind, I've thought of the staggering thing as second, it would just happen as attrition went on, but who knows? I mean, so I can answer questions about the conversations that were had during the legislative session at that time, but no one will be very impressed with them because if you see how the sausage made, it's never never pretty. So,
yeah. Commissioners, any questions?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
That was the point I was at, is are they there or not? And then we have to go back to other meetings. Did we say they're appointed? Because they've been acting, they've been doing business for the commission. So does anybody remember?
I think before we have Leonard speak, I hate to ride the coattails of Commissioner Glenn and throw it back at the attorney, but I think the problem here is we've never had these answers clearly defined to us. We've asked these same questions that are being presented by members of the committees, by Mr. DeShields, and even by our commissioners. And when we've asked these questions of council, it was never adequately answered to where are they currently serving a six-year term? You know, we weren't following any of the rules to begin with. That's what created the Sunset Commission's recommendation to go ahead and create what you hear us talking about today. So I think when we go back to answer Commissioner Glenn's question, one of the first questions should be answered is, are they currently serving effective the date of the Sunset Commission rules, which would mean they all reset to day one of the six-year cycle? And if that's the case, that means the work we're doing here, we're going to have to rethink and look at. That would be the first question we need answered. And if they are doing it, does that mean we can cycle them off? Because most of them have served well over 12 years that we were talking about cycling off, going back to what Chief DeYear had mentioned as far as the way that the seniority was played into it. So I think there's multiple legal questions that we need answered because we don't want to violate the law. But we also want to create an effective procedure for cycling new blood into these committees who want to come on, while at the same time not adversely impacting the sustainability and reliability of them by removing people unnecessarily who shouldn't be removed just because they have tenure on the committee.
I hope you understand. I would feel much better answering your questions once I've done some deep dive into it.
I do. I just wanted to add to your burden. That's all.
Thank you very much.
No, I think once I do some research on it, I can answer your question.
Okay. Leonard.
Leonard Chan, Houston Fire. First off, I would say, like, since these committees were created with this law, it should start from scratch. But my main point was, there's another example. Yes, I think the legislation needs some fixes in the next session for clarity, but there is another example in which there are staggered terms. It's the Texas Senate. It says for senators shall be chosen by the qualified voters for the term of 4 years. That's pretty much mirroring our language for shall serve 6 years. But it also says, but a new Senate shall be chosen after every apportionment, and the senators elected after each apportionment shall be divided by lot into two classes. So that part's not in our statute, but there's the example at the Texas Senate, pretty much you stagger terms, and some people might luck out in being in the wrong class. But I think there needs to be clarification regardless.
Commissioner Wilson.
I would like some clarification also. So this morning I've heard that we were having trouble getting people to serve on these committees. I've heard that said before multiple times. The last selection committee, which I think was the one you chaired, wasn't it, that I was on?
Probably,
with you.
Yeah.
What we have, JP, we had at least three pages of names of people wanting to serve on the advisory committee.
50 to 70.
How many?
I'd say 50 to 70 names.
50 to 70 names. Yet I keep hearing we can't find people. That's not my experience. We've got a long line of people. So I'm not really sure where that thought comes from. I've received, I'm fixing here, it sounds like. Or it looks like. I've heard from others, from other people who are very frustrated because they've tried to apply so many times and can't get selected, and they would like to serve. So I'm hearing and seeing just the opposite with my experience and with what I served on before in the selection committee. So you have a response to that, Daniel, or is that what you're up for?
No, Commissioner, I was just going to weigh in, and I feel like I'm speaking for Chairman Pat McAuliffe, but one of the struggles that we have, so these are working committees, all of them, and I'm just going to say something probably very politically incorrect on how this plays out, but I've done that before. There's a difference between getting people on a committee. And then there's another issue about getting people on the committee willing to serve the committee and serve the Texas Fire Service. And there, while you had a lot of applicants for the Firefighter Advisory Committee, if I'm not mistaken, I think because I sat on that committee of whittling down, I believe it was 76 names that we whittled down, 75 of those 76 people had never, ever, ever been to a commission meeting or a Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting and had no idea what it even entailed. When it comes to the Curriculum and Testing Committee, that's a beatdown because I serve on that committee as well. And that committee doesn't need more names on a list of paper of people who can now claim on their resume that they serve on the Curriculum and Testing Committee. That committee, through y'all's direction, needs people willing to serve the fire service, the men and women that serve this state. And we need good people. And that's hard to massage and it's hard to talk about. But as the chair of the advisory committee right now, you're looking at creating two new positions for this committee. And as a long-term member of that committee, I'm excited to see two new people. But if it's just two people who occasionally show up and never weigh in on anything and have nothing to bring to the table, I'm just going to say this. I don't feel we're accomplishing anything. We're just making a piece of paper look better. So that statement had been made, I believe, not for the advisory committee, but more for the curriculum and testing committee. The health and wellness committee, we had a ton of names on there. We've had at least half the committee vanish in the last year. There were three people that were on that committee that never once attended a single Zoom meeting. They never weighed in at all. They were absolutely absentee. To the point that we finally asked, where are they? And when someone reached out to them, they realized, oh, I never intended to serve on a committee, and I don't want to be a part of it. Take my name off the list. I think, to y'all's credit, y'all don't want that. We're doing the work for y'all, so you want to make sure when you appoint somebody in there that we're just not making a piece of paper look good, but that we are, in fact, impacting the Texas Fire Service. We're making these committees better. And we do, and we want that. We want diversity. We want people from all over the state of Texas. We want people from big departments, small departments. We want that to weigh in. But we can't lose sight of our mission just because we're trying to make a piece of paper look good. And I think that's where that original comment came from. Nobody doubted how many applicants that you had. But as the chair of the committee, I need good people. I just don't need a people.
I agree 100% with what you're saying, and we can't look into a crystal ball when we're going through that selection process and know that. So I think that's where we as commissioners have to depend on you all as the chairs of those committees to bring those issues. I don't want anybody on a committee either is just trying to decorate a resume. But I don't know what's happening if you don't bring it to me or the chair, whatever chair of the respective committee brings it to us so that we can exercise our authority to take them off. We would need to know that, and
sure.
I think that would be the chair's responsibility.
Well, I don't know if it's appropriate to say this. I think what's been causing some of the debate amongst y'all is the fact that the advisory committee, the health and wellness committee, and the curriculum and testing committee are all having to play by the same rules, but they are vastly different, mm-hmm. different committees just simply from the job descriptions that they're burdened with. And it's difficult to massage that.
I agree.
Anything else? Commissioner Hamilton, did you have a question?
Well, I was just trying to think of, do we have a job description or job qualifications? What is actually going to be required of you to ever even be considered to be on this, which might help in some form or fashion? And then you come up with, or we come up with, you got a 6-month term to make this apply, or a year, whatever you want. And if you don't, you're out. You know. And then we go back to that letter that we got from the top 25 chiefs in the state of Texas saying, we got to have new blood. We have got to have new blood on this. And that was all signed, sealed, and delivered and sent to us. And from another thing that I agree with Chief DeGeer, we're not appointing a person. We're appointing a chair full. And if it takes 3 people to do that in that 6-year term, We're not doing noses. We're doing the chair. Whoever's in that chair, when it's vacant, we put another person in that chair. But that chair is only for 6 years.
Mr. Chairman.
Anyway, Commissioner DeVille.
Yeah, I just had a question. Because one of my concerns when we first started talking about these 3 particular committees was that they were vastly different. And that I felt that a lot of the responsibility had to come from that committee because only that committee knows the amount of work you're doing. And if somebody's in their chair at those particular meetings or not, as commissioners, I am not aware that someone did not show up for 3 meetings in a row. I would have been asking for their resignation. And, you know, right behind you to make sure that you got a worker bee. Instead of somebody that is building a resume. Because I've gotten to sit here and listen to people's resumes, and I'm blown away by the accomplishments and the dedication and the expertise, but I can't see in their heart, and I don't know if they've got what it takes to show up and be there and be present. But you as chair or your chairman of that committee would know that. And I think we need a real close working relationship with you that you feel comfortable coming to us and telling us, you know, person AB is not doing the work so that we can get that resolved and replaced.
Well,
do you have a means of removal within your committee?
No, that you guys have that power.
Okay.
That's spelled out in 463.15.
Okay.
I mean, it's very clear.
But we need the knowledge from
the chairman of
to act.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I would agree that there's probably a need for improvement on that.
Okay.
And I don't want to speak for Chairman McAuliffe with his committee because I know he's very, very passionate and he's done a great job for a very, very long time. And I know he and I both appreciate the fact that we have a voice amongst y'all so that we can help steer those committees to what our needs really are. So we have a pulse check to share that with you. I do know all of those committees all of those records are a public record. Those are accessible. So you could easily see who's not been to any of the meetings or who's contributing. Ours are clearly audio taped. The curriculum and testing committee is not. But I know Commissioner Hamilton, you usually show up to our advisory committee meetings, so you have a good pulse check of what's taking place there. I know, Mr. Chairman, you showed up to one of the curriculum and testing committee meetings one time and got a dose of that for a day and never came back. But
I appreciate what they do.
Yeah, so I would almost, extend that to you all. We like to see you at both of those committees to know that we have that ability to communicate with you and keep you informed. But as far as could we do something better, I think there's always an opportunity for improvement on that communication.
Mr. Jones.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I completely agree with Chief DeYeer, and I know where Ms. Shields was going with that, and I agree. You and I came from Firefighter Advisory. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work on all the committees, and they do take their time. You know, I chaired a subcommittee you put me on for Chapter 435, Commissioner Hamilton. I did a 427. I'm sorry?
421.
421, my apologies. And same thing. You'd have people show up, and we had a very diverse group, and they show up for the first one to check a box, and then say, well, this isn't what I thought, and they never show up again.
True.
So I would challenge us all as commissioners to get involved. I talk to Chief DeYeer quite regularly about his committee. To start paying attention and start addressing our focus on those seats that don't produce instead of trying to get rid of seats that do produce. So I would just challenge all as commissioners, there's a good time to say that, and that we look at that, because we do have the ability, as DeShiel said, at any point as commissioners to remove any member for any reason. It just takes a motion and a second and a discussion and a vote. So while we're spending a lot of time trying to remove members that produce, let's look at filling the ones to get the people that do work. And then we've already heard from the other meetings it's going to be attrition, and we go from there. Because I think that's something as commissioners we've got to look at going forward. Let's keep people in these seats that do work because they are very viable because of the diversity in our commission here, from civilian members that don't have experience to people that have experience in one area but not the other. So we rely on that experience on those committees to help us make informed decisions, so we're not doing things over and over and over and making bad decisions.
Commissioner Wilson.
We usually have an agenda item on our agendas for future topics, and I don't think it would be a bad thing for us to have maybe a report from the chairs of the committees at a certain meeting throughout the year that we have, and have them report on attendance and so forth. I don't think that would be a bad thing at all. Just bring it and address it to the commission.
Mr. Commissioner, I don't know if this is legal or right or not, but perhaps that when you have your two-day meetings, mm-hmm. that if you could invite the committees to be there to answer as a committee to any questions that you may have. At least you'd get to meet them. I suspect there's a chance that many of you have never met some of the members of the Curriculum and Testing Committee or the Health and Wellness Committee. So you could have those people come to your workshop and at least meet them, ask any questions that you want. I don't know if that's legal, if that's the right process or not, but I know it's an open meeting, so they can certainly come at your invitation. I think that would be a better way to open up those doors to communication.
Maybe that's the answer right there. We just have more dialogue between the different committees and us.
And I want to address more again about, just thought about on the number of applications. I think we all deal with that in our own departments. How you put out a hiring, and you may receive 120 applications, but there may only be half of them, if that's qualified. And so we deal with that as well, so on the number of applications that we receive.
Okay. Any other commissioners or anyone else from the audience? Commissioner Morgan.
So I guess this is for staff. We already passed 463. It wasn't unanimous, but it did pass, correct? We're only discussing an internal policy to comply with 463,
right? It did pass. And yes, it
did just pass it, so it'll take effect in 20 days. But I think I need to add to your, I need to add some to this answer for you.
Okay.
And I appreciate you asking it. Short history lesson, we had a sunset review. It started before I got here. I walked into this job, we were under review. One of the hottest topics was the committees. The reality of where we were in 2020 with our committees, where that we had these three committees, and there were no consistent rules or guidelines in place. That was the angst of those who sought to see that changed in Sunset. Sunset studied it. They came back and said we weren't even compliant with state law 2001.008, which is referenced in the rule. So they gave us direction from Sunset to come up with a rule about the committees. The rule cited law that already existed about six-year terms, they had to be staggered terms, all that. So we've worked for 2 years to come up with a rule. You all voted to pass that rule today. It takes effect in 20 days. Now, you all have to decide how you're going to move forward from here for these committees to continue to function. We got a legal counsel that walked in 2 weeks ago. I will say, because of my history of being on one of these committees for 25 years, and a well-known fact that I was one of the targets of the initial discussion that people have been there too long and it's time for them to go, I left the committee. I don't think it was appropriate for me in his first 2 weeks to give him any insight from me about this. I needed this discussion here to happen today, knowing full good and well he wasn't going to be ready for the questions he was getting, but we needed to have this conversation so he has a starting point. So he has gotten an unfiltered view of why this is such a topic. And I think the motion on the floor right now is to table this so he has time to study this up now that he has, I'm not going to say a clear picture, but he has an understanding of what the concerns are. And we now have a rule that's going to take effect. And he's going to be able to report back at the next meeting of the legal opinion of the questions that have already started being emailed to him while we're sitting here. And I think then we're going to be able to move forward. I don't think anybody expected us to be able to flip a dime and solve the problem. The problem was we had no rules about our committees. The other problem was we weren't clearly meeting the laws as outlined for committees of state agencies. We're working on getting there. We took a big step today when you all passed 463. So now we have a rule to work with. I think now legal counsel who works at the agency has an opportunity to review the state law, read this rule, and give you guys a report back so that we can start this process. So, again, this document that everybody got and is looking at was just to have a place to start talking. And we just spent an hour on it. I think that was effective. And we're at a good place now. We solved the rule. We had a committee on committees to come up with the rule. The rule is there. Now with that rule in place, we're going to be able to move forward and figure out how these committees are going to function. But I also want to caution you that you can't just shut down what this agency does. And I think that was discussed when the Sunset Review was going on and when we got our direction. We had to continue those committees as they existed so that we can continue to function here. And I think everybody would agree these committees all, each of them separately, do their own special thing, and they do one hell of a job for this commission. And so we have continued that. And now we're finally at the point with a document here, with a rule that we've been directed to come up with, that we can start to answer that, and you all can figure out how you want to move forward with these committees. So if there's any fault here, it's me not catching legal up on it, but I didn't feel appropriate to be the one to catch him up on it because I may or may not have a skewed opinion of that, and I didn't need to fill his head with that. He needed to hear what he's heard today so that now he can go forward with a charge from you all to research this.
Mr. Smith.
So in regards to the motion to table, we're tabling the internal policy that has been suggested on selection of the committee members, or are we just tabling the rotation process? We got a health and safety committee that's almost vacant. I didn't know if we need to start something and have something in place, or at least to start accepting applications, or is it all, do we got to leave it all tied together?
I think until we have some clarity of the direction we're heading, which has to come from legal counsel after he's had ample time to review, I don't know that I'd hate to do something just to have to turn around and undo it or to make the problem worse and compound it.
And with the until we know timelines, I understand on the policy, but I just didn't know if we wanted to get started on selecting members since we have so much work to do in health and safety.
I mean, I'll ask the question, is there any harm in, we know that we have these vacancies, could we start that application process? But I'm hearing questions, are we even clear on what the application process should look like? I mean, does that need to be developed through this same process?
Job qualification, job everything.
I mean, we've operated that way for years, from the time that I applied to be on firefighter advisory way back whenever that was. Would it make us more comfortable knowing that there's set guidelines for what those expectations are for somebody to understand before they ever apply?
If I was going to apply, I'd want to know what it all entails. Up front, black and white. If you don't want to do this.
Basically job description?
Mr. Chairman. Job description.
Yeah, I agree. We've been here this long. I think we give legal the time to answer the questions that are on the floor, and that way we can come together and make an informed decision off of legal opinion. Because like you said, we may have to turn around and change it again.
Sure.
But with that said, I don't know if I can discuss 13 because it's not open, but with it being passed, Chief DeYeer's questions, does that still create us problems because of the chart in 463.7?
Would we, once we have the opinion of legal, if we needed to modify 463, that one particular section that causes the confusion on the timing, I guess we could bring that back and make that change in a future meeting.
Absolutely.
Once we know what the playing field looks like, I think that's where we're at. We've got to determine that before we really take any other steps, in my opinion.
Yes.
So can we open back up future agenda items?
Sure. Well, hang on. Before we do that, we still have a motion and a second on the table. We're still in discussion over that. So is there any other discussion on item 17 with a motion and a second to table?
No.
Chief Whitfield. Commissioner Smith asked the question. I don't think you're tailing the internal policy. All we're trying to do with this policy is capture whatever direction you all want, and that's what we'll do. Once you come up with how you want this to work, we're going to capture that so that we now have something to fall back on every time you all have to fill a vacancy on the seat. I think what you're tabling is agenda item 17, which is how are you going to fill these vacancies. I think that's what you're tabling. And so I just wanted to
agree. Sure. Okay, is there any other discussion on item 17? If not, just so everybody remembers, we had a motion by Commissioner Glenn, a second by Commissioner Jones to table that item. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of tabling signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? Item 17 is tabled.
And once again, if you could email me your questions, just so I have questions.
Okay, we'll move on to item 18. I'm sorry. Commissioner Jones asked to go back and revisit item 9. So we will reopen item number 9. Commissioner Morgan. Stealing your thunder there, man.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioner Jones.
So before I get a bunch of arrows at me, I would like to add chapter 463 to our next meeting just so we're able to discuss it if need be, so we don't have to push it to another meeting so we can try to get this thing done. So not to make a bunch of changes, but just in case an event after legal that we need to discuss or do anything with this, we'll have it on our agenda.
Okay.
For that reason.
Commissioner Cody.
I support that, and I would also like, as part of our workshop, a legal brief out on what the questions are being answered so we can get those during the workshop.
Sure. I think that's fair. Anything else while we have item agenda 9 open again?
Clarification, you're requesting that 463 go back on the agenda in what terms? I'm sorry. Just so that you have it to reference?
Well, I guess we should probably discussion of possible action. Okay. That way, if anything comes up illegal, then we need to change. We have the ability to change it at that meeting. We don't have to push it to another meeting.
Mr. Okay. Chairman, just
Commissioner Glenn.
If I may, I did send an email. If you'd like, I can read the three questions. That way it may save some of the other commissioners the trouble of.
Sure.
If you'd like, I can just, that way. For those advisory committee members listed on pages 2 and 3, are they to be considered as being appointed as of today? And this was in reference to draft policy number IP004. Question 2 was, if they are not to be considered as being appointed, how can they serve on an advisory committee as a voting member? And number 3 is, if they are to be considered as being appointed, how can we be in compliance with the statute requiring advisory committee members be appointed to 6-year terms? Those are the three questions I posed.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. Commissioners, anything else on item 9?
I just need clarification. CET meets in December. Do they need to work on creating a job duty qualification summary to present to y'all when asked?
I would like to see that from all the committee.
That Daniel
from all the standing
to create
committees.
One and see, you know, I don't want to speak on Pat's behalf, but I need to know what to put on this committee agenda.
Would that be an item for the workshop for them to provide to us for discussion at the workshop?
Workshop would be fine.
So I think we can provide that direction. I don't know if we need to take any action on that, but we can certainly request that of the ad hoc committees, that the chair be there to provide whatever that job description-like document is for what it takes to be a part of that committee, and then we can discuss it in the workshop. Does it need to be any different than that?
Hold on. We got to answer the first question. Let's not ask another. I don't think we're at a place for that yet. I think until he gets back to you with a legal opinion, we don't need to do anything like that. And that was a totally inappropriate question. I'm sorry that got asked. I don't think you're ready for that. That's your decision on how you want to do that, and I don't think we're there yet. I think we need to give the attorney time to sort this out and give you some information at the next meeting, and then you all can decide what you want to do with that. Because it can get too convoluted if they start all giving you their ideas of what this needs to look like.
I don't disagree with that. Commissioner Hamilton, I know you brought that up initially. Are you good with that?
Whatever fits, it would probably be in our best interest to maybe at least advise them that we are looking at going that direction. We don't have any guidance at this time, but they could give us some time to start thinking about it.
Fair enough. I think they'll know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Amanda, are we square?
No. The question was about, there was an appointed committee to fill positions. There was a committee to come up before 63. There was no committee about filling positions.
No, there was. It was Wilson and DeVille and I can't remember the other person. But there was that was supposed to fill positions for, I think it was Wilson, I'm pretty sure. But there was a committee appointed 2 or 3 meetings ago to fill some vacant positions. And we were working on the application process.
I think what they were appointed to do was to come up with the process. SOP that they did.
Yeah.
To
cause this discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
right.
I thought we had worked on that.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah, they got it.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on item 9? All right. Now let's go to item 18.
Matters from the agency chief. A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities. B, decision of the agency chief in contested cases and consent orders. C, status regarding division functions as follows. Training approval and testing, test administered. Training approvals, record reviews, and online training audits. 2, certification and professional development. Training applications, IFSAC seals issued, certifications issued, training facilities, curriculum development, library resource requests. 3, compliance, including biannual inspections, compliance officer training, issues involving regulated entities. And finally, 4, information technology, including public website design, farm and phyto improvements, CAPS, IT security policy, and service requests.
Chief Wisco.
Commissioners, everything's great. Thanks for coming. No. there is a lot going on outside of these meetings, and I'll try to keep this brief, but first, I need to introduce a couple of new staff members that have just started and you haven't had a chance to meet. Ms. Barbara Allen, she is a budget analyst now, and she's been here for 2 weeks. So she's just getting started. And also Dan Reed is a new member of the certification division back there. Dan just started this morning, so this I hope he's still here after we're done today.
Let's get him microphones.
Just to give you some follow-up on where we're at with all our new gifts from the legislature, 12 trucks have been ordered. The POs have been issued. The trucks are sitting on a lot, and we expect those to be delivered, I would say, in the next 3 to 4 weeks. I think we'll have them on the road in the next 6 weeks. We have to get them here and make sure they're properly marked, and then we'll be able to issue them out to everybody, and we'll have vehicles on the road. That's a huge victory, and we were lucky to find 12 vehicles this quick and be able to get them out. So the next would be it's time again, believe it or not, we have to start working on our strategic plan and any budget structure changes and all that for the next legislative session. So we're working on that, and as you heard earlier this morning, the Budget and Strategic Plan Committee had a meeting, and I think we're going to have another one coming up to start ironing that out so we can accomplish whatever it is they would like to see done. Next, again, with that, the LAR, we're already looking forward and trying to figure out what we're going to do, but we need to get the budget and the strategic plan stuff first. Compliance Division, clearly you've seen a whole report laid out in there, but I just want to tell you that our compliance team, just like all the rest of them, they're working their tails off, but they're exceptionally busy right now. They've got some large department compliance inspections in progress. At the same time, we have 31 active investigations that pulls them from compliance duties to investigate injuries and other things as well. At the same time, it is renewal season that started in September, goes through the end of October. So our certification group, along with help from everybody else, is busy getting our 38,000-plus certified firefighters out there recertified. We're adding an IT position. The new member won't start until next month, but that'll take us up to 5 in IT. They, too, are hard at work. We're trying to enhance our systems. We're having discussions about how we bring in some more artificial intelligence and maybe some apps and things like that to make it easier for certificate holders or wannabe certificate holders to work through our processes. So we've got a lot going on there. C&T, these guys are busy as ever. We've talked a lot about them today, but there are a lot of things going on, especially with the NFPA changes that are happening and curriculum changes that are out there. So that's never ending, and we have staff members that are busy with that every single day and trying to accomplish that, and they're doing great work there. The last thing, really, from the agency side of it, there's been a lot of discussion. We asked for funding in our LAR to relocate our office. That has evolved from the possibility of moving to a higher floor in this building to now it's a very good chance we're going to move to a completely different building, which is up off of North Lamar. We're going to go from about 4,500 square feet to a little over 8,000 square feet for the agency if that move happens. And all we're waiting on right now is facilities to tell us the cost of the needed modifications so that I know there's enough money to do that and that they can meet the timeline. But I fully suspect that by tomorrow afternoon I have that response from facilities and we're able to move forward. The intended move date would be January, and our February meeting would be at the new facility. That's still up in the air, pending their response on what that cost is going to be and if they can meet that timeline. That's it for A. B, nothing to report for contested cases or consent orders at this time. C, you read in your notebook the reports from the different divisions. I would ask, in the sake of time, instead of rehashing all of that, are there any questions specific to anything you read in there?
Commissioners, any questions?
No, I'd just like to say that I appreciate staff's work, and they're busy and they do a lot with not enough people, and I really appreciate it. I really do.
We do have a phenomenal staff, and we've added some excellent people now that are going to help us moving forward, and I think you'll really start to see things change. I offered a little bit to the subcommittee on budget and strategic plan this morning that when you all appointed me to this position in the beginning of 2020, we knew there were some issues to deal with. It took a full 2 years to figure out exactly what that was and start working to correct that. I can tell you that today I feel confident that we have addressed them all and we have the right people here now to be able to start moving forward in all areas. And we'll continue to keep that work going on with the great staff we have and provide you updates at meetings or as it comes up.
I'll pass on a compliment from a couple of staff members in our department that took the new fire marshal certification test and really appreciate the fact that they knew what their grade was before they ever got out to their car through the parking lot. So that's about as best as you can hope for right there, that kind of a turnaround. So
there's a lot of people that work. One of them right there behind you, Candace, is one of the ones helping that C&T committee stay afloat and keeping things lined out. But it's taken everybody, IT, certification, testing and training, all of them. And I'm grateful for all of them, and I'm proud of the work they're doing.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions for Chief Wisco? Okay. We'll move on to item 19.
Personal matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, and duties of the agency chief.
So I guess nothing on item 19?
I got nothing. Okay. I'd love to see you bring up.
Well.
All right. Seeing none on that, we'll move to item 20.
Adjourn the meeting.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Coatney, I believe. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. I'd like to thank all of our guests for being here and bearing with us today. I wish you safe travels going home. Please drive safely. I know the roads probably are a little sloppy out there. So thank you for bearing with us. We are adjourned.
Sorry. Thanks, sir. That was the email I sent you.
Okay.
Can you copy Commissioner Jones?
Okay.
So, Chief Wisco. Oh, no. I wasn't.